Jay Sewell, who is the Alabama Crimson Tide golf coach and has been since 2002. They're ranked number two in the country. And first and foremost, when you lose a player like Bud Colley, how in the world can you maintain such a high standard with the five that were remaining, Coach?
Well, it's a great question. We thought we might take a little bit of a dip, but we had a kind of an unexpected surprise. We have a true freshman in Justin Thomas, who is, I think, the player of the year. You never expect a true freshman. We knew he was good, but we never thought he would come in and be one of the top two or three players in the entire country. And actually, he's got the best stroke average in the history of our university. And so it helped us move on past Bud. We thought we might take a small dip, but Justin has helped us move, stepping what we've been doing the last few years.
Well, and he's ranked second in the nation, according to the Golf Week Saragan Index, and I'm sure there's several others out there that have this back and forth. But right behind Jordan Spieth, who we all know is the young phenom from Texas. What is it about these kids? It's one thing to talk about the kids coming out of college being prepared for the next level in the professional ranks, but these kids coming out of high school are ready to jump right in with the college boys.
They really are. You know, I think, you know, you're starting to see, you know, the last 20, 25 years, kids really just becoming single-minded in all they do. And they're getting special, you know, they're getting all the things that you guys on the tour used to get 20, 25 years ago, the training and the teaching and the ability and all the things that go with it. They've kind of gone since they were 10, 11 years old now. They have basically become one sport oriented. And by doing so, They're gaining a great deal of experience in golf, and by the time they get 17, 18 years old, if they're a phenomenal athlete like these guys are, they've turned into as good as you can be. It's kind of new to me too, but it's a great thing for us, and it's really a great thing for golf. The explosion of young players that we've had the last few years.
Well, and it really has been just in the last few years, but. Justin is not the only great player you have on your team. Dickie joked on this show last Friday night that when he was in contention at the Nelson, and I know that you're as proud of him as I am, that he not only played as well as he did last week, but conducted himself as well as he did when he lost to an Auburn Tiger. And he said, I may not be good enough now to make the starting five at Alabama. And he was only half joking.
Well, we would love to have him. I'm not sure Dickie would take coaching real well at this point in his career, but I'm kidding. But we are very talented. Our first three guys, we have a fresh, Justin's a true freshman. And then Corey Whitsitt and Bobby Wyatt are both, true sophomores. So basically our top three players are 19 years old or younger. Corey won the U.S. Junior at 15. And Bobby shot 57 in the state junior, which is still a competitive world record. He's on a 6,500 yard golf course. So these guys are the real deal good. And it's fun to watch them compete against each other. And they really have made each other better because of, they're great teammates, but they want to beat each other every day. And that's how you get better in this game.
Well, there's no question about that. The people that you're closest to push you the hardest. And that's an atmosphere that tends to create itself, but then you really have to foster it and make sure that it doesn't get contentious, I would think, as the coach.
That's my job. I think team chemistry is probably the number one thing in college golf. Well, you got to have talent. But, I think you have to have a cohesive group. And these guys are best friends off the golf course. And I think, everybody's a competitor. But you have to be, if you're a friend with somebody, in this game and being a gentleman's game that golf is, you want to beat each other, but you're not going to, hit them in the back of the leg with a 5-iron if they do beat you. And so they're pushing each other. They know that if they have a bad day, that they're going to get lapped pretty good by their own teammates. So it really kept them focused in the preparation. But like you said, I think my biggest thing was, the reason I like this team is because of how they really they've taken on the ownership of the team and allowed that to be more important than their individual accolades.
Which is really amazing. I mean, when you get right down to it, golf is an individual sport. I don't think there's any question about that. And yet you guys have been able to create the team atmosphere. I've seen it with Coach Hack at Georgia. I'm good friends with with so many, Jerry Haas at Wake Forest, and so many of the Division I coaches, and they really do, for whatever reason, it seems to work that you have to have that team mindset. And I've got to be honest with you, in the 80s, when I was playing college golf, I didn't even look to see what my guys shot most of the time, you know?
Absolutely, and I think there's still teams that maybe do that time to time, and I probably have some teams that were a little bit more individual-minded than team-minded, and I think this is just a blessed, you know, I have a, you know, just true team that's fun to coach. You know, some years are a little more individualistic maybe than others, but I think being around the atmosphere at the University of Alabama is really helpful too, you know, with the football team and how Coach Saban has done stuff and all the, you know, a lot of teams around here, what they're doing. There's a pride with the, you know, right now with Alabama, and I think our players a bit, you know, are totally drink the Kool-Aid and want to emulate what's, you know, kind of going on around them.
I'm gonna take you back a few years. I'm curious. I think that you might have had 2 years of overlap at South Carolina, where you went to school with Brett Quigley.
That's
is
it.
That right? And Carl Paulson.
Yeah.
My buddy Jay Randolph Jr. was there at the time as well. I don't know if you knew Jr.
Yeah, I did.
I played against you quite a bit back then at East Carolina.
Yeah.
But
I
we were never any good.
I wasn't on the lineup very often either. My brother Daniel, who was actually recruited with Quigley and that group, and Robert Dargan and all that, Daniel, my brother, but they were better than me. I think I was just some guy, a hood ornament or something like that. But I remember you. I remember those guys. And those were still fun days in college golf. I remember watching Davis Love hit shots. And to this day, I've never seen anybody hit golf shots like him when I was 18 years old.
Remember his practice routine? I don't know if you ever saw this, but I worked at Duke when I was in high school, picking the driving range there. And he used to come out, and he'd hit balls for 45 minutes, full swings with a 6-iron with just his left arm. I can't do that today with the lighter clubs, the lighter shafts. And this was back in the 80s with steel shafts and heavy heads. And he would hit full shots, and he could hit it 140 yards in the air with just his left arm.
He really was an amazing talent. He used to shoot some of the prettiest 70s you ever saw in your life. You know, he always struggled a little bit with six-footers a little bit on birdies. He had so many of them, but I've never seen a ball come off like that. And this is the old ball, of course. It made the noise of today's ball, and I thought it was going to draw, and it looked like it was going to fade, and it just kind of went straight. I've never seen anything like it. It just went right where he wanted it to every time, and I was just hoping mine went where it wanted to every time.
Our guest is Jay Sewell, and we will talk about Riviera in just a minute. But I'm curious to know, you graduate from college in 1988. You're a head coach by 1991. That's not only impressive, it's pretty amazing. Dan Brooks, who's been at Duke as the women's coach and won however many national championships, had a similar situation and has been coaching ever since. How did you manage to get that job at such a young age?
Well, Anderson College was just desperate. It was a junior college right there in my hometown, and my family is all in golf. My dad's a golf professional and a very good one, and so we had a nice reputation in town, and it was junior college. They paid me $7,500, so I don't think there was a big long line to come and be the head coach. I was just dumb enough to think that was good. So I just wanted to be a golf coach, and I was willing to do that. And those were some special times. I coached some really special players. I had three or four guys make it to the Nationwide and had a cup of coffee on the PGA Tour, and Billy Judah, and had a guy make it to the semifinals of the USAM. So I will always be thankful for Anderson College. It gave me an opportunity when I was 22 years old, 23 years old. And so, when nobody else probably would have. And so I've never been an assistant. So all the things that I know I've screwed up through the years, it's just basically I've thrown things up against the wall. And if it stuck, I kept it. If not, I moved on and tried to do something different.
Well, what you built at Augusta State definitely took roots, because they're two-time national championships. Now, you were there from 98 to 2002. I want to talk, obviously, Augusta State. Congratulations to them. They've done a phenomenal job. You guys at Alabama, however, have been a powerhouse. You make it to the tournament every single year, which is no small feat. What you did at the regionals this year is it's sickening almost. Let's talk about the national championship. Let's talk about the format first and foremost, because I don't think that our listeners are aware what the NCAA did 4 or 5 years ago with this format that makes it really anybody's ball game.
It really has. You know, we'll start with 30 teams, and we'll go 54 holes of stroke play and crown an individual champion after 54 holes, and then we'll break the low eight teams. And this is the part I do like. I do like the kind of getting into the brackets. All the NCAAs are, you know, the March Madnesses of the world and all. We go into a bracket system and rank them 1 through 8, and 8 will play 1, of course, and you'll play 3 straight-up matches against another team in match play. I do wish we played metal play head up, but that's a long story, and we won't get into that. But it is really, you know, I think fans can understand Alabama versus Southern Cal, Alabama versus Texas Tech or Texas A&M or Texas versus, UCLA. And it really brings a different dynamic. I think it's easier, kind of almost like Ryder Cup for people. But also, being match play, anything goes. And it really does open up. There are a lot of teams that are pretty talented, maybe 1 through 4 or 1 through 3, have really 3 really good players, might not have that 5th guy. But when you play match play, it just kind of brings a lot of great, you know, a lot of good teams in play. And so it's really anybody's match after you get to that match play portion.
Yeah, and this year, Riviera, how many of your guys have ever played golf on Poana Greens and Kikuyu Rough?
I would probably say none. They might have hit the Poana Greens, but I hadn't had anybody hit South Africa yet, because that's basically Kikuyu. It's just a South African, you know, grass. And so we're really excited. This is what the NCAA should be all about. Riviera has got such a historic past. Hogan's Alley, that just gives me chills thinking about it. And so it's going to be a true championship. I think, you know, the NCAA should be the greatest tournament you play in college golf, and having it in a place like Riviera is going to be really special, and I do truly believe that the best team will win.
Well, I tell you what, have you been there? Have you played Riviera?
I never have. I've gotten about as many notes from as many professionals as I could get. From our guys have called me and sent me yardage books and all, but I've been told what it is, but I've never been there.
Well, have your guys have lunch on the veranda overlooking the golf course. Have them spend an hour looking at all the pictures in the locker room and in the dining area there. The first time I met Byron Nelson was in that locker room. It is one of the coolest places I've ever been in my entire life. And you know what? You've got 5 kids that are going to remember this trip, and they may end up playing there in the Northern Trust for the next 20 or 30 years, but they're going to remember this trip for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely. That's what I'm excited about. I think we got it right this time. And only one team can win. There are a lot of great teams, and we're going to go out there to try to do it. But I know this, that there'll be special memories for all of us when we leave there, because it's of the special atmosphere that's going to be there.
Well, I want to ask you this, and it's sort of a topic that's related, but I'm wondering, you obviously have a very young and talented team. This year, the PGA Tour is conducting business as usual in terms of qualifying school. Going forward, however, qualifying school is going to be basically the pathway to the nationwide tour. Are your players aware of that? I'm assuming you've got a dozen guys there that want to play professional golf at some point in their lives. Are your guys aware of those changes? Do they talk about them, or does it even factor into any of the decisions that they're going to make going forward?
Yeah, they are aware. I know we don't need to get in a big debate about it. I think the PGA Tour is making a big mistake, on my opinion, but that's my opinion.
I'm with you. You and I are on the same page. And you're talking to a guy that graduated from Q School 3 times. So I'm the Nationwide Tour a couple of times. But that's beside the point.
Yeah, it is. Like I say, it's just, you know, our players are aware. And unfortunately, because of this year, you know, you might see some guys who normally would like to stay in college a couple of years. There are going to be some guys that try it. They're going to try it with the amateur status thing. But they are fully aware of everything that is going on and what's available to them and what's coming down the road. And so so I would be – these guys are very, very knowledgeable of everything that goes on that tour, a lot more than people know. They look up to those guys. They watch almost every tournament. They understand all that stuff, and so they know what's coming around the corner, probably more than me and you do.
Well, my question then is this, and I would imagine that you and most of the coaches in your position have to know exactly what the regulations are in terms of the NCAA and eligibility and amateurs going to Q school. Is that something you've had to brush up on and talk to your guys about?
Yeah, we always will look at those, and you know, our compliance does a great job here at the University of Alabama,
right.
And we sit down with all the players, and they know what they can and they can't do. And I know that many of them are, you know, I'm sure there's guys on my team, and I know there's a lot of guys in college golf that are having to make decisions. Should they try out for tour school next year, because it will be the last quote unquote open year to be able to get on the PGA tour. And so, you know, I think you'll see some people do it. Will there be some of our guys? There's a great possibility. Our guys are very good students and love the University of Alabama, but they're also very good and have big high aspirations to play on the PGA tour. And this is their last year to be able to run straight out there. I don't know anybody wants to spend 2 or 3 years before, you know, out of college to go try to get out there. I mean, you know, I think that's why I don't like it. We basically made the PGA Tour even harder to get onto, and we're
right.
Keeping people from developing. So, like I said, that's a lot. We have that discussion. I'm pretty passionate about it one day, that's for sure.
No, and I agree with you, and I wanted to get your take because I knew that you had at least three guys and maybe as many as six or seven that have to make that decision. And, you know, you look at Patrick Cantlay or Jordan Spieth, Peter Uihlein jumped in December, and he really started the conversation. He said, look, you know, I can get this experience and try to be on the PGA Tour before 2013. And it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense to have the conversation, because I don't think that too many people outside of your circle and the PGA Tour circle are aware of the impact that it's having on these guys who inevitably, you know, let's just look at it from strictly a number standpoint. A lot of them aren't going to make it.
No.
I mean, it's the shame, and some of the most talented ones won't make it. And some of them may have left early to not make it. And obviously you guys will welcome them back and try to help them get their education, but they won't be able to play at the school after that.
No, it really isn't. Like I said, it's you know, all professional sports has new blood coming in all the time. It's what makes sports great. The PGA Tour is the exact opposite of that. It likes to hang on to the older stars and, in a nice way, stifle the young stars. That's what I believe. Because after the way they're doing it now, we're going to have very few young stars. I mean, think about it. Rory McIlroy might not get that opportunity if he was an American in 2 years. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And so I just, you know, we had Bud Cauley on our team who did something that literally five guys have done in the history of the game, which
right.
is to get their card without going to tour school. And so they all say, well, you can get your, there's no starts for them, so they're not going to get it that way. So now they got to hope to get to the nationwide. Well, you know, that's going to be hard, you know, itself. And so now, like you said, we're limiting access to great players. And also we're stifling the growth of great players. And I just don't understand that, to be honest with you.
No, I'm with you on that. Now, I wanted to get your take on it, because I think that you are uniquely situated to address it. For me, I'm just an old guy who's been through it, but but you're talking to kids right now who, I mean, they have to make the decision, and for each one of them, when they come and sit down with you or their instructor or their parents, you're all worried about what's best for the kid, not what's best for Alabama golf, not what's best for you're worried about what's best for each kid individually. And I would imagine your advice to one would be completely different than your advice to another.
Absolutely. You know, you have to take each individual case. You know, like I said, Bud left early, thought about it his sophomore year. We had nice discussions, and we both agreed that it would be better to stay one more year, play on the Walker Cup team, and do some fun, you know, do some stuff the tour wasn't leaving. And then third year, it was an easy, yeah, that was easy, if you know what I'm saying. And so, you know, you have hard and long discussions with each mom and dad and with each player, and each person has its own journey in his own way. And so one might do this and the other might do that. And you've got to make sure that, because if you ever get selfish in this thing, you'll have no players. So right. It's really, you know, we're just trying. Our job is to help people get their degree and also to make them better in this game and help them in their journey of golf. And we feel like we're doing that. And if they have to leave early to do that, we're going to do what we can to help them in that process.
Our guest is J.C. Well, and I'm going to let him go in a minute because I promised him 10 minutes.
No.
I've kept him for 25. I have to ask you, it would be insane to have a member of the coaching staff at Alabama, a member of the athletic department there, and not ask a football question or two. How are you guys looking for next year?
Yeah, we look pretty good every year. Coach Saban's kind of got that thing wrong. He's a very good friend. I actually work a little bit with him with his golf. He plays very little, but so I've had a chance to sit down with him. I think we're going to be all right. I think our first string is going to be good. We'll be better on offense. You know, we lost four guys in the first round that are going to play in the NFL, so I'm sure we'll give up a few more points than we have. But I would be surprised if we weren't in the conversation again come December for that national title game. They've got it. There's great athletes here, and this place is crazy now. Don't kid yourself. And I've drank the Kool-Aid, too. We believe we're going to be in that game every year, and it's hard to do. But I would be surprised if we don't have a good chance again.
Well, I tell you, I would love – I've told Dickie this. I want to come to a game. I've never been to a game in Alabama, and I want to come to a football game.
You come anytime you want. It's unlike anything, you know, in college football to me. It's just such a passion. And you come to a big game like an LSU, there's 250,000 people here. Now, our hole is about 105. So that tells you there's just people want to be here. They tailgate. It's really a great atmosphere. And we'd love to have you anytime.
I have to ask you before I let you go, how many phone calls a week do you get from my old buddy Jerry Pate?
Wow, he might be listening. He has been, I was sitting in front of, that's where my office is, called the Jerry Pate Golf Center, and he has been a great asset and a great alumni, and he has really got a great heart for us and pulls for us. And I get a lot of phone calls from him. So there you go. I'll leave it at that.
Well, and you know, my favorite part of the Jerry Pate story was he left Alabama early to pursue what was an incredible career in professional golf. And he came back and went to school and graduated with his daughter. So I know that for those few years, he was in your office every single day.
Absolutely. Every shoulder surgery he had, which he's had about 1,000, it seems like. He's probably had about 15, honestly. When he goes through his rehab, that's when we see him a great deal. So, but like I said, he's a huge asset. And we talked about it the other day. I told my players, I said, boys, imagine hitting the 5-iron on the last hole of the U.S. Open with a one-shot lead to 3 feet. I said, you know, you can call it what you want. It's one of the great golf shots in the history of our game. And we're proud that he's an Alabama guy. And he's added a lot and made this program what it is.
Yeah, he's a unique individual. There is no question about that. It's always great to have him on the show because I can't ever get to commercial.
He probably talks a lot more than I do, and I talk a lot. So there you go.
Well, we wish you guys – when are you guys taking off?
We leave in Saturday, and we're going to get a chance to actually play Bel Air on Sunday. So I'm really excited about that opportunity also. So looking forward to going west, going to Dodgers game Saturday, so we're going to have a great time.
Are you going to be able to take your clubs? Do you get to play Bel Air?
No, I don't. I
really?
Just sit there and watch. Yeah, I talked to the little pro today. Mitch Marin's called me today, and you know that was a treat in itself. You know,
no
that's
doubt.
A show, and that's another show. But I talked with him today, and so this is just kind of a dream even for me as a coach. I love what I do, and to watch these guys do. And my job is to make their experience as best I can, and I hope we can do that next week.
Yeah, I wish you a lot of luck. You know what? I love the fact that my East Carolina Pirates are going to be there. And that they got to see one of the best teams in the country last week at the regionals. I'm happy for everybody, and I look forward to it. And if you guys win next week, you've got to come on the week after.
You call me again. I'd love to be on your show again then. Absolutely. And you should be proud of your Pirates. They handled themselves brilliantly in a very uncomfortable situation. And they, Press and those guys, they'll be commended. I think they'll do very well next week. They're very good.
He has some good players, and it's about time that they started paying attention to the non-revenue sports down there, and I'm thrilled for them. I tell you what, I'm excited for you guys. Have fun out there. Say hi to the little pro for me. He's also
sure
been on
will.
The show a few times. Jay, thanks for the time.
John, thank you so much for having me, and let me talk about college golf. And everybody have a good night, and roll tide.
Absolutely, and have a great Memorial Day weekend. You guys are going to have a great one. You're going to be at a Dodger game on Saturday.
Absolutely.
Jay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right.